There you go. You know, this morning is where we are, of course, celebrating the 4th of July and Independence Day and all things that come along with this. And in keeping with that, we're gonna talk about the topic today of God Bless America. We're going to talk on that topic. And every time about, of course, every year, about this time of the year, this of course, this topic really comes to the forefront of not just my thoughts, but many people's thoughts, I know. And there's been quite a bit of discussion even, guys, you know, and you've probably seen it on social media even about the use of that phrase, God bless America, right? Whether or not America is actually blessed or not, just to be honest. And in fact, there's a pretty passionate debate on whether the United States was even based on Christian principles or not. Are we really a Christian nation? And this morning we're going to focus on, and have you guys watched, anybody watched the speech last night by President Trump? Anybody see that last night? Okay, not anybody. Really? Nobody saw that last night? Okay. So he spoke last night. It wasn't on all the national. It's because of Independence Day. He was speaking to veterans and stuff. And if you get a chance to go back and watch some of it, go back and watch some of it. Because you can say what you want about our president, but he was defending our freedom to have faith, to pray before football games, to be able to preach what you want to preach from the pulpits. I mean, he went off last night. I'm just saying, it was really good. So you need to, if you get a chance to watch it, just go check that out. And guys, this morning we're gonna focus on the topic of whether or not God has blessed or even continues to bless America. Okay, we're gonna look at four questions today. We're going to look at, what does it mean to bless? What does that actually mean to bless? Number two, we're going to look at, does God actually bless nations? Number three, why would God choose then, if he does bless nations, why would he choose to bless the United States? And then, how does this affect us in our own personal Christian journey? How does this affect us this morning? But before I do that, let's pray. Can I do that? God, thank you this morning for, as we've already celebrated a little bit, God, just thank you for the opportunity we have to be a part of the United States of America, to live in this nation, to have the freedoms that we have, and to be able to worship the way we want to worship, which we'll talk about. And God, just thank you for the men and women who serve our country in the military, men and women in this very room that serve our country in the military, those that are across the seas right now defending us and serving our... God, we are so fortunate, and so thankful to be able to have this opportunity, to have the opportunity to celebrate this weekend, to celebrate this Independence Day here in just a few days. And so, God, I ask you to kind of open our eyes a little bit this morning as we talk about what it means to be blessed and to bless and what it looks like for us as a nation, what we need to do in order to have your blessings. So, God, just work on us, work on our hearts this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. So the first question then today is this. What does it mean to bless? What does it mean to bless? Well, here's the definition of the word bless, okay? It'll be up on the screen too. It says, it's the act of declaring or wishing God's favor and goodness upon others. The blessing is not only the good effect of words, it also has the power to bring them to pass. Okay? The act of declaring or wishing God's favor and goodness upon others. How many of you guys in this room have ever used the phrase, God bless you? Not just bless you, by the way, whoever just sneezed, okay? How about God, thank you for the timing, that was awesome. No, how many of you guys ever used the word God bless you in here? Anybody? Okay. Right? We've done it. It's a very popular phrase to use. And I hear preachers all the time saying, have a God blessed day, right? All those kind of things. And so really, in fact, and if you have been around anybody from the South, you may have heard them say something like, bless your heart, right? Something like that. In fact, I read a story too. Little Johnny was attending his very first day of school, kindergarten, and he went to school, and his teacher was teaching them all about the Pledge of Allegiance. And so she told him, she said, okay, so when we do this, you put your hand over your heart, and then you recite after me. And they started saying, the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Well, Johnny didn't have his hand on his heart. Johnny had his hand right here, okay, on his backside, right backside, okay? And the teacher tried to convince Johnny, no, you have to put your hand over your heart. He said, he wouldn't do it. He would not change. She couldn't convince him. So finally she said, Johnny, why do you think that that's your heart? And he said, my grandma, my nana who never lies, every time she comes to the house, she picks me up. She pats me right there and says, God bless you. Right, God bless your heart right there, right? God bless your little heart, right? That's what she does every time. And we look at that, and you guys know if somebody from the South tells you bless your heart, it's not a compliment usually, is it? Right? Because it's meaning one of two things. It either means whatever you're doing, saying, wearing is really not what you should be saying, doing, or wearing. Or maybe it just means, man, you're about as smart as a bag of rocks, aren't you? Right? And that's pretty much what it means. And when we talk about that word bless, what does it mean to bless or to be blessed? And that word gets thrown out there a lot. And the phrase, God bless you, in that framework gets thrown out there a lot. Right? That's kind of not what we're talking about as far as, you know, the bless your heart things. But if we look around our world today, look around, especially what we get to live in, what we get to have, and the things that we get to experience, material blessings that we all enjoy from day to day, right? They're pretty temporary. Right? All of our material blessings that we have, and we have many, I know, right? We really do. They're very temporary. And we all can share things that we're blessed with, right? If we make a list right now, give me the top five things you're blessed with, we'd all have something, many things that we could say we're blessed with. We're blessed with the health, and we're blessed with the home, we're blessed with vehicles, we're blessed with finances or cars, or the fact that we get to live in the United States of America, right? There are things that we are blessed with, but all of those things are temporary. They're all temporary. They have a lifespan on them. But the spiritual blessings that are available to us, when we think about this word blessing and bless, right? The spiritual blessings that are available to us through and in Jesus Christ go far beyond any time constraints or anything like that, and go beyond our temporary lives, right? In fact, they involve both time and eternity. That's the spiritual blessing. We get to have them right now, and we get to have them for all eternity. And when you're seriously and legitimately asking God to bless someone or some group or something that you're praying, asking God bless you, and you're being serious about that, not just a phrase, right? You're asking for both things. You're asking for both, I think, a temporary blessing, and I think you can ask for an eternal blessing, especially when you say God bless you. Right? It's not just a temporary blessing you want them to have. You want them to have an eternal blessing. And being blessed can involve both temporary and eternal spiritual things. Right? So if we understand the word blessing and how we're going to talk about that this morning, and so it kind of gets us into the next question when we say, well, if that's what blessing is all about, does God actually bless nations? Does God bless nations? You go to the book of Genesis, and in the Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 through 3, here is God talking to Abraham. Okay, Abraham, who is the father of the nation of Israel. And he's coming to Abraham years and years and years before Israel ever came into being. And he's coming to him, and this is what he says. He says in verse 2, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. It's pretty clear there. He's saying some nations can be blessed because that word blessed was used right there several times in this passage of Scripture, talking about the nation of Israel. This is a promise that God made to Abraham, the father of the nation of Israel. The nation was blessed because God chose to bless them. But here's the deal. His blessings were not based on who they were or even who they were going to be in the future. No, they're still based on who he was as their God and their father. The purpose of the nation of Israel, guys, was to be a blessing to all peoples on earth. And how would they do that? How was the nation of Israel going to be a blessing to all peoples on earth? Well, because one day they were going to be the ancestry and the nation that delivers us the Messiah, Jesus Christ. That is what their purpose was, in order to bless the entire earth, to bless all nations, because they were going to be the lineage of Jesus. God chose Abram at the time, Abraham later, right, to be the father of the nation that would result in the birth of Jesus Christ. And as you read and maybe even study the Old Testament, we see that, guys, that Israel was not a perfect nation, right? If you know anything about the history of Israel, they were not a perfect nation. They messed up a lot. A lot they messed up. They were supposed to be a blessing, but often they failed. But our God had a plan, and he wouldn't let the nation fall or fail in the mission that they were given by him. And so from this verse in Genesis, we can see that when God chooses to bless nations, and he chooses to bless them when they are a part of his plan. If we're going to go to Psalm 33. In fact, if you have a Bible, you may want to turn to Psalm 33. And I'll read you several verses out of Psalm 33, talking about God and when he has a plan, when he has a direction, when he has a purpose in mind for a nation. This is kind of what happens. So Psalm 33, we're going to start with verse 10. We're going to read several verses here. Starting with verse 10, it says, "The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. See, the purposes of his heart through all generations is going to be firm forever," right? "Blessed is the nation," get this, "blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven the Lord looks down and he sees mankind. From his dwelling place he watches all who live on the earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those who hope is in his unfailing love. To deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine, we wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, even as we put our hope in you." Now guys, this psalm and these verses in this psalm are written about the nation of Israel, but I think we can also apply them to all nations on the earth. We can apply them to the United States of America. You focused on verse 12. I've read it twice there. "Blessed is the nation whose" what? "Whose God is the Lord." There's the key. Nations are going to be blessed when they have God as their Lord, when God is who they're serving, when God is who they're defending. They've chosen to follow God. And we have a part to play in God's plan. Right? As America, we have a part to play. Yes, I think God does bless nations. The problem is and begins when those nations choose to follow anything but God. Right? That's when the problems begin. That's when the issues begin. That's when the blessings begin to falter a little bit, because we've chosen to follow something besides God. Which leads us to our third question. Then why would God then choose to bless the United States? Okay? Why would he do that? And as I thought about this question and did study and did some research and did some hours of stuff, guys, here's the only conclusion that I could come to is God would choose to bless America if we choose to put him as our Lord and Savior. See, he has plans to use our nation for his glory as long as he is the one that we are serving. He is the one that is at the middle of what we are desiring to do. And again, sorry you guys missed a little bit of the speech last night, all the speech last night. But part of what our president was saying was he was talking about how we should have the freedom to have our spiritual freedoms, to have our spiritual freedoms to preach from the pulpits what we feel we should preach. And the government's not going to step in and tell us what we can and can't preach. That's what he's telling, right? He's telling us that they should have the right to pray before football games. They shouldn't be taking prayer out of school. They shouldn't be taking the word God out of the Pledge of Allegiance. And all the things, I mean, he was defending all these things. Guys, that's what we need to be and get back to as a nation. And God says, if we are there, if I'm at the middle of this, then yes, I will bless you. And you think about it. What if God has a purpose for our nation? What would that purpose be? What could our nation do to help fulfill the purpose of God? I think to understand that question, we gotta kind of look at what I think one of the greatest purposes of God for any believer would be, and that's the thing called the Great Commission. Okay, and in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, we see what the Great Commission is all about. And this is referred to as the Great Commission because this is what Jesus Christ commissioned, told his disciples to go out and do. And he's telling us the same thing as believers. This is our mission. We are being commissioned to go out and do this one thing. He says in verse 19 of Matthew 28, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." God says your job, your mission, is to spread the word of God, spread the word of the relationship with Jesus Christ to every nation. That's our job. That's our commission. Right there, you notice, we must use our blessings, which we have many, right, to bless others by making disciples. Because as you heard President Reagan in that speech, amazing speech, right, that he gave. We are blessed. We are a blessed nation. And if we want to affect the world for Jesus Christ, we need to share our blessings with others by making disciples, by helping lead them into this life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. And as we look at the blessings that we have in America, right, the resources that we have right now, guys, right now, I don't think there's another nation on our planet that has the ability to reach the world with the news of Jesus better than we do. And I know there's great things going on in all sorts of countries, but as a whole, we've just got more resources, more ability to reach the world with Jesus Christ than anybody else. And in this age of technology and everything that goes on, we just have so many abilities to do that. And we are better equipped than just about any other nation out there, which is why I think for the most part, over the last 100 or so years, we are in the biggest mission-sending countries of the world, sending people out to other parts of the country, of the world to help try to make disciples, to tell them about Jesus Christ. And we are tasked to bless others by making these disciples. So why would God bless us? Is because we are out there trying to affect the world for Jesus Christ. That is how we will get the blessings of Jesus Christ and continue to get the blessings of God as a nation. So if this is all true, then you get to the fourth question, then how does this affect you and me in our own Christian journey? How does this affect us individually? Or another way to ask this question, is this affecting you in your Christian journey? Is that Great Commission, that whole idea of if we want to be a blessed nation, if we want to actually be blessed by God, that we are to be making disciples, and the Bible is pretty clear, of all nations, right? What are we doing in that? You know, as a church, one of our values for Fellowship of the Rockies is we value missions. That's a huge part of who we are as a church. We want to see God's word spread around the world, and we've had opportunities to do that in a variety of ways. Anytime you give in the offering plate, if you give at the end of the service today, part of what you give goes to support missionaries. Local missions, worldwide missions. I mean, we support individual missions. We support the North American Mission Board. There's so many ways we do that because we want part of our funds to go to support missions around the world. Right? We do missions trips. Right? We've taken kids to and adults to Juarez, Mexico to build homes, right? In order to effectively try to show God's love. We go to the Dominican Republic, to Dajabon, where we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kids that we are ministering to, and we get to go down in churches, 5 projects we get to minister through, and One Child Matters. And our church is built around this being a core value of who we are. But are you personally being effective in any way, shape, or form? Besides, oh yeah, the money I just gave the offering, some of that goes to missions. Are you doing anything more? Are you praying individually for missions? We have a little missions table out here that has cards you could take to pray for some of our individual missions. Right? Rhiannon, we'll talk about you because you're sitting right here this morning. So Rhiannon, this young lady, raise your hand, Rhiannon. Everybody turn around and look at Rhiannon right there. She likes to be looked at. That's okay. No, Rhiannon was in our church in Delta, and Rhiannon graduated a year ago, and she felt God calling her to do some missions work. So she went on something called the World Race. So you were, in the last 9 months, you were in how many countries? Four countries in 9 months. So tell us, where'd you go, Rhiannon? Right. And in all that time, what were you doing the whole time you were doing? Can you sum it up in a few words? Yeah. So she spent 9 months in different fields just doing missions work. Now, I realize she's right out of high school. She's young. She's got energy. She can do some of that. Some of us in this room can't do that, right? We got other things going on in our lives, and that's okay. But you know what? There are so many ways out there to effectively minister to the world. That's one way that she got to do. There's so many ways we get to do that. And again, giving is a huge part. Praying, huge part. Talk to any missionary. They value your prayers more than they value your money, right? They want you to be praying for them. So I think I encourage you to take some cards out there and pray for some of our missionaries. And every once in a while, we get to bring a moment for missions. You know, we had a few weeks ago, we had the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. That was one of our missionaries here serving our teenagers. Before that, we had someone who's part of a sports ministry around the world, right? I mean, there's a lot of things we get to do as a church. But let's look real quick about America and kind of where we've been coming from. And is this on the... It is. Okay. So guys, if you look at that for a second, that's a scary statistic if you think about the how we're going backwards. 1990. So these are Americans who identify themselves as believers, as Christians. Okay? That is what America's identify themselves as Christian. 1990, 86%. 2001, 81.6. 2012, 78%. 2015, 75%. It's a steadily going backwards, right? And if you look at that number, in 2015, out of that 75%, 62% of them claimed to be a member of a church congregation, to go to a church somewhere, some kind. Guys, steadily, as we look at America, and to be honest with you, 86% surprises me, to be honest with you, right? I mean, that's a huge, those are all huge numbers when you look at the world we live in, right? But again, the definition of what it looks like to be a Christian versus being in a relationship with Jesus Christ can be two different things. Because you're a Christian I grew up in America, so yes, I'm a Christian, right? So some people believe that, right? So, but just to know, even that is going backwards. And guys, are we blessed? Are we blessed with spiritual things as a nation, as Americans? Are we blessed with spiritual things? I mean, yes, you think about it, the freedom that we have, right? The freedom to worship the way we want. Again, it's scary because, and again, I appreciate watching that speech last night because that's different than some of the things we've heard in the past of the freedoms that we are encouraged to have. And some leaders have been trying to change that, right? But we get to sit here on a Sunday morning, 4th of July weekend, we get to worship, we get to sing songs, we get to have lunch afterwards with one another, right? We get to have that freedom to spend time to open God's Word in every way, shape, and form, right? Because we have more access to God's Word. We have Bibles sitting in the chairs. We have tablets, and we have phones, and we have you can have the Bible can be in your hand at all times, anywhere. And there are people around the world who would do anything just to have a portion of a copy of the Bible. And we get to have it any way, shape, or form we want it in. You get to sing songs. We get to give money. We get to hear preaching. All of it without the fear of somebody breaking in here and telling us we can't be doing what we're doing. It's against the law. Right? If you want to study God's Word, it's amazing what you can do. Okay, look, I never took Greek or Hebrew in school. Dick, did you take Greek or Hebrew? What'd you take? Both? Greek. Okay. So Dick, what's the Greek word for the word blessing? There you go. See? It's been so long since you did it, right? But guess what? Okay, Google. What's the Greek word for blessing? That's not going to do it. I did it last night. Oh, here it is. I can't pronounce it, but here it is, right? If you want to see it, there's the Greek word for blessing, right? That's all I have to do. Guys, we have the freedom and the ability more than any time in history to be able to understand, know, and have access to the Bible. It's crazy the amount of freedom that we have. Oh, darn. Now my tablet did the same thing. I got to go back to my notes. Hang on. I'm sorry. It messed me up. Okay. Jeez. Computers, say. I'm telling you. That's great. But we have more access, right? I mean, think about it. We have more access to do this than at any other time, We are blessed. We are blessed spiritually in ways that people, I look back at my grandparents, man, they wouldn't have a, they couldn't even begin to understand what it is, that the freedoms that we get to have and the abilities we get to have to do things. Let me look. What does Jesus have to say about those who have so much? And we've already said we have a ton, right? We have so much that's been given to us. So what does Jesus say about that in Luke? Luke 12:48 says, "From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." Guys, we've been given much. And now there's a responsibility that we have to continue to be blessed by God. We've been given much, and so much is demanded of us. So how much patience do you think God has with us who have probably squandered some of the things that we've been given when it comes to spiritual things? In Luke 13, I'm going to read you, there's a parable that was given in Luke chapter 13, verse 6 through 8. Here's Jesus, he's talking, and Jesus was a great storyteller, right? And he always used these great stories to drive home a point. So he's telling this story in Luke 13, verse 6. And it says, and he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came seeking fruit on it, and he found none. So he said to the vine dresser, the guy who's working with the plants, look, for 3 years now I've been coming seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? This is what the vine dresser said. And he answered him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it, put on manure, then it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, then you can cut it down. Here's the story. Here's Jesus in this parable. He's talking about this nation of Israel again. Okay? He's disgusted with them. They're not bearing the fruit that they're supposed to be bearing. And he's telling them in this through this story that they must bear fruit. Guys, we have a lot of responsibilities as Americans. We should be bearing fruit for Jesus Christ. We should be bearing fruit. And then in verse 8, it says that the gardener says he has one more year to help this tree produce fruit. Just one more year. Now, Jesus doesn't finish the story and say whether or not the tree produced fruit or not. Right? It doesn't say anything. He left it kind of the end of the story for us to investigate and to ponder. But the question is today, are we bearing fruit? As a nation that has been truly blessed, right, by God, are we bearing fruit? Or are we just kind of going through life doing our own thing? Thoroughly blessed, yes, but keeping it all to ourselves. There's one final passage I would like to read here. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Here it is. Here's the key for us as a nation, as a people, as a church. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. Guys, this verse applies to God's people, us. If you're in a relationship with Christ today, it applies to us. He's not saying this to people who don't know him or haven't chosen him yet. Yes, they need to repent, but he's saying my people, those who have already entered this relationship, my people, we are his people, we can change the path of our nation. We have a responsibility to change the path of our nation by humbling ourselves, by praying, and by seeking, and then by turning away from what the world has to offer and turning towards God. Guys, our God promises he'll hear us from heaven. He'll forgive us. He'll bless us. He will bless us so that we can continue that great commission to continue to go around the world. If we fail, then he will choose another nation to bless. God's plan will not fail. He'll find someone else to do it. So how do we apply this practically in our everyday lives? First of all, as the verse said, we must humble ourselves. Okay? We got to humble ourselves. We all understand what the word humble means. We need to choose to serve others, not just be worried about us. Choose to serve others. Use our resources wisely to honor God and to spread God's word. Our provider, right? Let's make a difference in your homes, make a difference in your neighborhoods, in your jobs, when school comes back around, in schools, I mean, in your communities. Let's make a difference where we are. Let's make a difference. Humble ourselves and make a difference where we are. Second, then, it says we're told to pray. We're told to pray. Pray that God's going to provide godly leaders. Let's pray for our leaders. Let's pray for godly leaders. Let's vote for godly leaders. Pray that our leaders will then use our blessings to bless the world. Right? Third, it says seek. Seek first the kingdom of God. So many of us, I know, we get busy, we've got so many things. I guarantee you, seeking God and God's word is not always the first thing on our list of things to do. Right? We got to do things, we got to do lists, and seeking God's kingdom is not probably one of those things. Because we need to study. We need to study God's word. We have the resources to do it, to understand it. What he wants us to do, we have the opportunity. We need to study that. And may everything that we do and say and act and may bring glory to God, right? Seek first the kingdom of God. And then four, turn your eyes on Jesus. Let Jesus be the example of how to live our lives. We can look at the story of Christ. It's amazing the example that he, of course, was and is to us on how we should be living our Christian lives. Guys, again, Luke 12:48, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Guys, we have been blessed with much. So God expects a lot from us. He demands a lot from us. We've been entrusted with much. Much more is going to be asked. That's where we are. That's what we're expected to do. Let me pray for us. God, I know that in this room there's some amazing people in this room. And what a great church family. And I know we have some friends and visitors today. What a great opportunity to be able to worship together today. God, thank you again for that freedom that we get to have to worship. To worship you. God, we get the freedom to either like or not like this music, or like or not like that sermon, or like or not like how the air conditioner. We get the freedom to have all that, God, and so thank you for that. And yet, God, I know that also we would probably all in this room be able to admit and confess a little bit that we've been kind of selfish with your blessings. Not just in our own material things, of which, God, no matter where we are financially in here, God, or economically, we are blessed compared to the rest of the world. And yet we still have plenty of time to complain about those things, God. And yet, spiritually, God, we are blessed. The opportunities and the resources. And God, to look at our nation, to look at even our church, God, to know that we have been blessed. We have been given the responsibility now, God, to do and to bless others with these blessings. We have much to be demanded of us. So, God, I pray that as we get to celebrate, God, in the next few days, we get to have a good time today, just having lunch together and stuff, which is all amazing things that you have given us, and thank you for us getting to do that. But God, help us not to leave this place the same that we came in. Help us to leave knowing that, man, maybe we should be looking around and seeing how we can bless our communities and our neighborhoods, and how we can share your blessings with those around us and the world around us, and maybe how missions can be effective with us and what we can do. And God, all the things that are involved in this. And so I pray that you would really challenge us this morning. If we want to be a nation that continues to be blessed, that we as a people, as a church, as a believers, are a part of making sure that continues on, to be forward thinking and to be purposeful in how we live our lives. So God, thank you for this challenge this morning. We give this to you, God. Give this day to you. In your name we pray.